We're helping you take that next step in your journey with Jesus. It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve.
It is time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of anchorsaway.org, Worldview Ministries. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve, and good morning, Kelly.
I am glad that we were able to connect on this because you and I most recently, we were actually having a conversation about how important worldview is because you've got all the statistical data about, you know, what happens when that period of time between leaving early adulthood into adulthood, that many, many people leave the church, they leave their faith behind, whether that's because they go off to college and there's the world is introduced to them, the culture. But discernment is such an important part of our walk with Christ, and knowing what the difference is between what is good and what is evil is so important. Yeah. And that's what you've presented today is how do we know what is good and what is actually evil? So help us understand this.
Yes. And I think from a worldview perspective, not only to discern what is good and evil, but don't let people that bully and intimidate you to back down. And this is what happens. You know, there's never much discussion these days. It's like, this is what I think is good, therefore it's good. And I dare you to come up against me. As a matter of fact, you're judgmental and this and that and the other if you don't go with me. So there's a lot of pressure, and especially in college, but notably through the sciences. And this is why it's so important that we teach these young people, listen, you're going into a secular college, especially even if it's Christian, science departments are usually secular, and you're going to have to hold true through that because you're going to be lied to. And it's they're out to destroy your faith, and you have to be strong. Keep the faith, because it's the sciences where kids get so messed up. And I think this question is a very good one. How can I know what's good and what's evil? And I think from a biblical perspective, and we're talking about a biblical perspective today, you know, from the beginning of time, all people groups have struggled with the concept of good and evil. What does that mean? And I think the Bible is so clear in telling us the true story of Adam and Eve, how they struggled with God's demand not to eat from the tree of good and evil. God put them in a garden. It was perfect. That was the only command he had. And he was telling them at this point, making it very clear that only he, not mankind, declares what is good and evil. And it was like he's saying, don't meddle with this. Don't play with this, because you will be sorry if you do, you know. And again, Adam and Eve could have eaten from any tree in the garden that God prepared for them. But they both wanted to follow their own desires, you know, to be their own God. And they listened to the prompting of Satan to question God, and they ended up choosing to eat from the tree of good and evil. And the thing is, there's a battle out there, Steve. It is strong and it is real, and Satan had won over them at this point. And the ramifications of that choice that they made are huge, because all humanity has suffered. We all bear a sin nature that desires to go against God, desires to go our own way rather than be obedient to God. And Satan lied, if he lies to us, to Adam and Eve, by promising they could be like God, knowing good and evil. So this is a huge issue. Again, in Scripture, this story is found in Genesis 3, 4, and 5. Where the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So there it is. It's so clear. It sounds so good. It's so tempting. But the result of all this has been disastrous.
Well, we are very rebellious in our nature. It doesn't matter. That even comes out as children. You know, everybody says, oh, baby's so cute and loving. And no, we become rebellious. The first things we kind of learn are mine and no. And that is just part of who we are. But that is going all the way back to that choice of Adam and Eve. So break that down for us about how their choice impacts us today. Even as we try to navigate this culture that we have around us.
Yes, and it gets back to what we were just talking about. We live in a culture where God's word is no longer honored as truth, and that's huge. That is huge. And most would argue there is no such thing as truth. So sadly, and this is the thing, Steve, where do we go for truth? How do we know truth? Where can we go with our questions? And sadly, most churches, not all, have grown cold to God's call of teaching the hard things, teaching the idea of how we're intimidated by others. How do we stand for truth? How do we respond to somebody that says there is no God? Or this is what is true, and I don't care what you think, but there is no God. You know, this kind of thing. And we're just finding that the world, unless we teach this, we won't know how to live out our faith in a world that has grown hostile to biblical morality and to those who embrace it. We simply need to make sure that we talk to our friends, especially those that are new in their faith, and talk to them about the importance of understanding God's truth and God's word. And this should be our focus of where we are. You know, it's interesting. God doesn't ask our opinion of what we think is good and evil. And that's the issue. The world wants to say, different things about what is good and what's not. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6. Jesus claims to be the way and the truth. So what he says in the scripture is true, no matter what we think about it. And we just have to start talking about what's going on in the culture so we can at least save ourselves from getting hurt. Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteousness and upright is he. So we honor a God. We love a God. The God of scripture is righteous. All that he does is right. There is no truth outside of what God ordains to be good and evil. And I just again and again and again say this is something that we really have to tackle. God is sovereign, holy, all-knowing, unchanging. And God has always been and will always be sinless. And God calls us to live above what the world is living. And we are called to follow his commands. And what are his commands? To love God, to obey God, and to love others in the process. And this is just so important. His call is clear, that we need to choose God. We need to obey God. And I'll tell you, the looseness that so many people have about whether or not to obey God, let me tell you, scripture's very clear on this. Romans 12, let love be genuine. Wow. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. And then comes a warning in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And this is our culture.
It is.
And we are the bad guys. you know, we are the bad guys now because we call good good. And woe to us for not. And so that's why I think this question is so good. It's so important because this is for us to understand. We must respond by the way we live, by the way we love, and not cave into it.
Well, culturally, you know, one of the struggles that we have to really acknowledge is the fact that we have a culture that even, you know, three decades ago, there were authors who were saying, you know, live your bliss, right? You be you. Live your truth. Well, the problem is there's only one truth, and you've already said it. You know, I am the way, the truth. It's there, Jesus. Yeah. That is the only way. But we have allowed this culture in the world that comes up with so many different things that we can just say, well, this is my truth. This is my feeling. This is what my experience is. So how do we respond to those who would actually, you know, tell their own version of truth or own that and then determine what is good or evil in their world about what they're presenting as truth?
Yeah, and you know, Steve, that brings up a point. In our classes, we talk about this, and we talk about how on earth do we respond when somebody says something that we know is not true. And so how do we fight this without getting in a fist fight? And one thing is just to ask them, so repeat what they said. So what do you mean by truth? What did you just say? And then ask them, how do you know that's true, what you just said? What is your plumb line for it?
Mm.
And then, you know, where do you get your information for that? And then what happens if you're wrong? Those four deadly questions. And again, our culture is so steeped in this thing called moral relativism that has replaced what is good and what is evil. And this philosophy that this culture that we're living in, which makes it so difficult, judges good and evil on personal preferences, you know, and it's all about them, what they like, what their personal preference is. And keep in mind that might change daily. What is convenient for me is what is good. And most of them don't want to discuss. They don't want to talk about defending what they believe because they don't believe there's any truth. So, you know, it's crazy. And with God, because he is the very definition of what is good, again, talking about plumb lines for the Christian has to be his word. And from his word, we know what is true. And the rejection of God in our country has put us on a downhill slide.
Oh, yeah.
With little hope for recovery because there is no truth. There is no God. And the thing is, God made it clear that he is sovereign and knows that we would face evil. He warns us of this, and he wants us to be prepared. You know, always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have and do it with gentleness and respect. But we feel so intimidated as Christians, you know, when people come down on us so hard that we buckle and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, I think Jesus hurt a lot of feelings when he was speaking truth. And I'm not doing it with speaking truth with anger, but just this is what is true. And he says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that they want to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Thus, the condition of so many churches being afraid to attack the hard issues. And we need to, because we need to know how to respond. There's so many issues now out there that are evil, causing pain and suffering. And what is the church doing about it? Clearly, we have to start talking about it. The celebration of homosexuality, transgenders, and including the defense of abortion on demand are usually accompanied by a mockery of those who value life and promote traditional marriage. it, you know, from their perspective, you know, evil is called good and good is called evil. There is nothing good about those issues. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. According to the Guttmeier Institute, there are more than 1 million abortions in the U.S. in 2023. To be precise, research estimates there were 1,026,700 abortions in 2023. That's the highest number in over a decade. In the first time, there have been over 1 million abortions provided in the U.S. formal health care system since 2012. What do we do about this?
Yeah.
What do we say about this? It's wrong. You know, it is wrong. And dealing with this idea of transgender and homosexuality, what we teach in Anchors, and I think biblical worldview would say clearly, when talking to people who are engaging in this, I've had them say to me, why are you even talking to us? Most Christians don't talk to us. And that's an actual conversation I had at lunch with some of my friends who are in this homosexual lifestyle. And I tell them, it's not about your homosexuality. They don't know what to do with. They don't know who you are. They don't know that you're loved by God, that he has a plan for you. They don't know that Christ died for you.
Yeah.
And forgives you of your sin. And we all sin. That's my answer to them. We've got to stop pointing out the sin. It's kind of like Kelly was talking about earlier. These people are in that lifestyle for a reason, by the way. And many of them have been abused. So let's soften it, but let's speak directly to them. And then they asked me, is it a sin? Scripture says it is. But so is lying.
Mm.
So is judgment. So is coveting. So we all sin. We're stuck with a sin nature. And but I think there are lots of ways, Steve, we can approach this. But we just have to learn how to do it instead of run away and, you know, do nothing. Another thing that's happening, because there's no right and wrong, it seems to be okay for mobs to throw bricks through windows and to destroy lives and businesses across the U.S. And I was thinking about Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Listen to this. Abominations to him: haughty eyes, lying tongue, the hands that shed the innocent blood, a heart. Let me see here. A heart, let's see, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers.
Yeah.
And then the other one toward Israel, and this is the thing, whatever your opinion is of Israel and Hamas and all this, and I see these, you know, on college campuses especially, I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know. And listen to this. This is God's promise to the nation of Israel. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And, of course, that's through the line that the Messiah came, the Jewish bloodline that Christ came. So these are dangerous grounds. And I'm sure that the people that are pushing all this have no idea of the judgment that comes down on people that come up against Israel.
Well, that's such an important thing to remember because, you know, he was a motivational speaker, but yet he was a Christian, but he didn't speak on that.
Yeah.
His name was Jim Rohn, and he was a very popular motivational speaker. And one of the things that he says is, you know, the Bible is filled with examples and warnings. And he said, you need to live your life so that if somebody wrote you into the Bible, your story would not be a warning to others. others because of your, you know, what you do, because of your behavior. But yet we have a culture that is completely writing stories that are like that. Don't do as I do, but we fall right into that. Nancy, I'm just going to put a pause here because I want to jump back into the conversation, but I got to check in with Randy and see what's going on outside with our temps today. So stick with me. I'm going to come right back to Nancy. We're going to continue this conversation about good and evil in just a moment. We've got Nancy Fitzgerald with us. It is our biblical worldview question of the week. From anchorsaway.org, I want to encourage you, go on and check their website out, all the great resources that are there. If you're looking for maybe a good summer life group study, don't forget to check out Unanswered, Smoke, Mirrors, and God. Great, great resource that you can have for your small group. Get yourselves a couple copies of that for your whole group. DVD study, really excellent stuff, along with all of the worldview material that is there. Nancy, you know, just before the break, I was saying that, you know, we are surrounded by evil. And, of course, all of us, we are guilty of sin. And as we said earlier, it's part of our nature of who we are. How about forgiveness then? If I know that I've done these things, if I know that in my heart I have done something that is sinful, what's my pathway to forgiveness then? And how can I use that to kind of get right and repent?
Yes. And, you know, from a Christian perspective, yes, thank God for Jesus Christ. It's what Paul said. Why do I always keep doing what I don't want to do? You know, I think if people are truly believers, they have the Holy Spirit in them, that nudges them when we get out of line. Mine is very busy, you know, but that's the issue, is that, you know, God has always provided a way of forgiveness, always. And so I just think that's the good news, wouldn't you say? He died on the cross to forgive all sin, no matter how evil our transgressions are. And salvation for all sinners by faith in Christ. And we as Christians have to live this out and then speak it out to people who are lost. They're looking for a purpose in life, even, you know, no matter how mean or how what they've done, they're looking for hope. And we have to be the ones, wouldn't you say, to provide that to them. Yeah. And we get sloppy with it, Steve. I think we just get intimidated and we don't want to put ourselves out there. We don't want to be rejected, so we don't say anything, but we can share the gospel by the way we forgive them and listen to them and then ask them appropriate questions that would kind of push them toward this idea, well, maybe there is forgiveness for me. Maybe I am tired of living like this, you know. But I think the real issue with all those who are lost, and I say this loud and clear, you know, in doing evil things is not what they stop doing those things. We are not saying stop doing those things. And this is, you know, just stop doing this and just get over it. No, that's not what God has called us to do. He's calling us to lead them to Christ, to put their trust in him, to place all the evil things they've done. They do that at the foot of Christ and receive forgiveness for all their sins. It's not for us to point all those out and whatever. It's for us to lead them to Christ. And that's the thing, Christians, and that's the thing with our kids, too. When they do something, talk about it. Look, this is just hurting you. You're sinning against God, not me. And help them see that a relationship with God is ongoing. We have a sin nature, you know. We continually go to God, I'm so sorry, I've offended you again, forgive me, and live a life that is free of guilt. But these people, I'm telling you, there's so much evil in them, it's terrifying. But again, the issue is Christ with them. As God loves and forgive us, we too have the privilege of being used by God to bring hope to those who are lost. And this is it. And again, getting back to Second Timothy 4. Christ knows this, and he talked about it. I mentioned the scripture earlier, but he says here, I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is judge of living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience, and teaching. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangel, and fulfill your ministry. This is what we're called to do, is to live out our lives. And to love those who are trying to persecute us. And to be strong and ask God for words, ask God for direction. But I will promise you this, most of those people who are in that, and statistically speaking, have gone through abuse themselves.
Yeah. That's very, very true. And, you know, those things that we do experience, we have to give that completely over to God. Yeah. We have to entrust our pain to him, because it is the power of the Spirit within us that actually enables us to live with that, to make reason of those things and to understand that, which takes away our desire to exact revenge or to be evil in the midst of our own pain. And so this is, I think, a very vital point for us to be sure that we have a really good grip on, of discerning what is good, what is evil, and being sure that we stay on the right side of that equation.
Yes, exactly, on the right side, and that we don't react, but rather we respond. And God allows us to suffer. He puts us in this position to call people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. It's an evangelical tool that God is using. Not one of my favorites, but I'm telling you, when we come under attack from people, to stand strong, you know, to answer genuinely a question that they have, and not to put them down, not to mock them, even though they're mocking us. But the point is to be Christ, in this world, to forgive them as they speak almost, but realizing that they need Jesus Christ. They need to see Christ lived out, what that looks like.
Yeah.
But more people than not will take note of how you treat them instead of, you know, barking back at them. Just listen to them and say, you know what? I choose to disagree, but, you know, frankly, God loves you. And even though you don't love him, he loves you. So there. It's like, how are you going to get mad at me for that?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it is. It's so true. Oh, well, this certainly, gives us pause for thought though, because every single one of us, you know, I mean, if you're hearing this conversation right now, you're going to go through your day, you're going to encounter some situation where you're going to have to choose as to how you react. And we have to remember, yes, as each one of us, our job is to be a good ambassador for Christ, and that we are to be known by our love for one another, not by the evil things that we can do or that we can participate in. And so discernment is so vitally important. Man, oh man. Nancy, what is going on over at anchorsway.org? What do you want to share with us?
Well, you know what? People are going online. They're learning about who we are. They're engaging in small groups with the Unanswered series, which is a very good thing. And you know, we've got Anchors the Way going online to colleges across the world, really. So, so I'm excited about that. We're trying to get the word out to give hope to people in the midst of this battle.
Yeah.
And we don't take it lightly, but there is much that we can do.
That's
you know,
right.
We can choose to forgive. I never feel like it, I'm just saying, but we choose to forgive.
That's
you know,
right.
Lord, you forgave me. I'm forgiven them. But then, as Kelly was talking about earlier, there more than often is a story behind the story.
Yep.
And to get in a position with these people, if you work with them or whatever, to get into the position where you can ask them about their story. Tell me about you. You know, who were you when you were eight? What was that like? You know, these kind of conversations that will open up and start to become friends. Once they share their story with you, if you can get them to that, or an opinion, or tell me, why do you believe that? I'm curious as to the why behind it.
Yeah.
Open that up and not, you know, ready to attack them, but just to listen quietly and respond with patience. And, you know, sometimes we don't have to preach at all. We just listen to them and they begin to want to talk more and ask questions. And it's really cool.
That's right.
The way that works. I know it works because it's happened in my life many, many times. People need to know that they matter, and they're trying to disrupt us because they're mad and they're frustrated.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know, take that power away from them by listening to them and treating them with gentleness and kindness, even though we don't feel like it. I will add that. But God honors it. You know what? God honors it. And so that's what we're trying to do, Steve, just especially in colleges, give people the reason for the hope that they have.
Yeah.
Intellectually, yes, but more philosophically, this is why it matters. This is the truth. This is how this is lived out.
Yeah.
And allow Muslims to tell their stories, the Jews to tell their stories. That's what so many of these classes are about. It's just letting people come and tell their own story from their own background and how they came to Christ. And it almost always involves the Christian taking the time to listen.
Well, one of the, you know, and this is for free for everybody, if you want to understand this a little bit more, just do a word study on one another. If you've got a digital Bible, do a word search on one another. And if you've got your Bible, go do a word study on the one another's of ministry. And you'll see how we are to treat one another and what God's word says that we can do. And, you know, if you just follow those things, you're 99% of the way there. That's like, that's if we can just get that down, man, that is so, so vital.
Yeah.
Nancy. Well, I do hope that you have an incredible day, and I want to say thanks again. I don't want to keep you too long, but thank you for taking the time to dive deeper into this and help us understand in the value of this and our worldview question of the week. So we very much appreciate
it.
All right.
Happy to do it, and it's good for all of us to kind of review this.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
I'm grateful to have gone through it myself. All right. You and Kelly had a wonderful day.
You as well. You take care. And I want to encourage everyone to go to anchorsaway.org. Find out about the Worldview Ministry. We're going to be coming back in just a few moments.
It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Find us on Facebook and online at kellyandsteve.org.